The race for Nigeria's presidency is getting really, really hot as more politicians declare their intentions to contest for next year's election. Well, over the last 48 hours, we have witnessed some declarations and promises in the political scene. Elsewhere, zoning remains a big topical question. Zone the PDP presidential ticket or throw it open? Well, that is the question many are waiting to get answers for. And while right here in Lagos, the controversy surrounding the leadership of the NURTW continues, just as many Nigerians struggle to stay in touch with loved ones after their sims were bad. If you're wondering what we're talking about, well, stick around because it is The Newsroom, a show brought to you by The Newsroom of Nigeria Info, where we take a look at some of the big topical issues that have taken place over the past week. My name is Ufoma Egbamono, and I'll definitely not do this show all alone because I've got my Shaku Maku master in the building. Algo Obo joins me. Algo, how are you doing?
Brilliant. And Shaku Maku to you also, too, and everyone who's joined in. Remember, we're streaming this live on Facebook and as well as on YouTube. We are joined today by Dakuku Peterside. He's a member of the All Progressives Congress, a former Director General of the Nigeria Maritime Administration and Safety Agency. We also have a journalist and editor of Independent Monitor, a Port Harcourt-based newspaper, Lekan Ige, who will be joining us later on the show too. Also, PDP member and strategist Demola Riwaju joins us. Of course, you have reporters who have worked on the stories we're discussing today who will be live in the studio. Welcome once again, everyone.
Yes, welcome once again, people. Let's get into the thick of the action. Well, like we did say, the last 48 hours has actually seen loads and loads of declarations, promises, you know. But let's just take a quick wrap of, you know, what has happened over the last weekend. First, on Saturday, we had the Minister of Transport, Rotimi Amaechi, formally declaring his interest in the 2023 presidential race. Amaechi says he is contesting for the office of president because he believes he has the moral duty to give what he can in the service of his country. We also, over the weekend, saw another aspirant, Yahaya Bello's, who says he is not afraid, you know, of all the other people jostling for the presidential ticket of the All Progressives Congress. And then, of course, the Kogi governor believes that he has all it takes and that he stands in the very best of positions to actually get the ticket of the APC. Well, early this morning, a lot of you Nigerians were, you know, welcomed with the formal declaration of the vice president of the country. We're talking Yemi Osinbajo, who says that he wants to run for the presidency of the country. He says, you know, he's committed to continuing all President Muhammadu Buhari's vision for the country. He's vowed to reform the educational system, you know, and of course, he's vowed to do a lot of things. Now, here's the other side to the story. It puts him in direct rivalry or confrontation with his former boss, who is, of course, the former governor of Lagos State, Ahmed Bola Tinubu. Now, that is going to get us talking in the next couple of minutes. And, of course, to make sense of all of this, let me confirm if we have all of our guests joining us on the show. I can actually see the PDP strategist, Demola Riwaju, who is here. Demola, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, Ufoma. It's a pleasure to be with you guys once again. Sorry I can't be in the studio today.
It's okay. We understand. And of course, we do have an APC member. He did contest the 2015 governorship election in River State, trying to get confirmation if the former DG of Nimasa, Dakuku Peterside, has also joined us. It does look like we're yet to connect to him, so we'll move on the show. But we have our reporter, From Port Harcourt, Martha Okere, who was at the Adokie Emesimaka Stadium in Port Harcourt on Saturday, where we had that particular declaration from Rotimi Amaechi. So let me start with Martha. Martha, can you hear us? Good evening to you.
Hi, Ufuma. Good evening. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. This one, you're sounding like this. did you run with Amaechi on Saturday?
No. I did not run. I just couldn't do that.
You couldn't, right? Okay.
No, I couldn't.
So we saw the transport minister running at the stadium, you know, possibly to show us how fit he actually is, you know, for that role. Please, could you just tell us what he was like on Saturday? It was supposed to be a Thanksgiving by the APC. How did it now metamorphose into a presidential declaration?
Ufuma, I am not in the APC, so I don't know what their plans were. But the information we got, prior to the Thanksgiving was that it was going to be a Thanksgiving. Although there were some, rumors in quarters saying he may declare that day, and of course he didn't disappoint. He declared his intention to run for the office of the president in 2023. As for, you know, showing that he's fit to be president, you know, by running around the stadium, it came as a surprise, not only to us journalists, but it came as a surprise to his own, you know, members of the APC who were there. So when he left the podium and, you know, started running to greet the people around the stadium, You could see the surprise on people's faces, and then the joy now kicked in, and you know, they started hailing him, and you know, everywhere just the stadium shook, you know, when he did that. You understand? And people were happy to see that, okay, he's showing that, you know, his feet is healthy, you know, he's not old, because according to him, in his speech, he said he was born after independence.
Yep.
I don't know who has that sub, but...
You think he was a sub?
Oh, well...
And anyway,
I think it was a storm.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much, Martha. We'll come to you in a bit. But let's talk to Demola. While we're still trying to get through to the former Nimasa DG, we also have another guest, the secretary of the All Progressives Congress in the APC. We're hoping also to connect to him. But let me come to you, Demola. We've seen two declarations, Demola, in the space of 48 hours. Amaechi on Saturday and the vice president early this morning. What do you make of these two heavyweights, even though I know they are not in your party?
Oh, well, I think, you know, it's expected. A presidency like Muhammadu Buhari's presidency is an inspiration to non-performers,
okay,
basically. I mean, everybody will think, if Muhammadu Buhari can become president, you know, I also can become president, because it's a bit, you know, shameful that barely a week, 2 weeks after we had the Kaduna Abuja train mishap, the Minister of Transportation, you know, Rotimi Amaechi can come out and declare. Ordinarily, you know, he should be under fire presently. If Nigeria were everywhere, he's staying in our society. He should be under fire presently and be answering questions from the National Assembly, you know, on what exactly he wants to do,
okay,
or he needs to do, you know, in that regard. So it's very disappointing, you know, in that regard. And then, you know, you have this morning Vice President Oshibajo coming out and threatening us, because we see it as a threat, basically. If you say you want to continue with war from where Buhari has stopped, or from where Buhari is going to stop.
Okay,
it's a threat to Nigeria, basically.
Demola, I'm going to put a pause on you for a bit. You explain to me later why you think that's a threat. But we also have joining us on the newsroom this evening the secretary,
Hello.
The publicity secretary of the All Progressives Congress in River State, Mr. Chris Finebone. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you. Good evening to listeners.
It's good to have you join us on the newsroom on 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos.
My pleasure.
Okay, so quickly, let's get into the thick of the action. A Rivers son declared over the weekend to be president of Nigeria under your party. Another member of your party, the current vice president, also declared his intention this morning. That's two heavyweights in the space of 48 hours. What do you make of these two declarations?
It tells you that we have very credible characters who are available to serve the people of Nigeria. And they are not holding back at all. They are not in short supply. The kind of people that would up the game of giving direction to Nigeria. So they are not in short supply. That is why they are making themselves available. So we are happy as a party.
All right, Mr. Feinbold, I'm sure that you're also happy that you have several aspirants who have thrown their hats into the ring. But in your opinion, who do you think stands a better chance of clinching the party's ticket?
There are several dimensions to this kind of thing. It will only require the trained eyes, focused eyes, to read it. It may not easily be read by ordinary folks, but those with the trained eyes can easily tell you that when it comes to the crunch, Right Honorable Chibi Kerotimi Amechi will clinch it. You can take it to the bank.
What gives you this confidence, Mr. Chris Feinbone? He's going to be competing against two of the big heavyweights, you know, the APC national leader, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, the vice president, Yemi Osinbajo. There's also Yahya Bello, the Kogi state governor. There's Dave Umahi, the Ebonyi state governor. There's the senator from Imo state, who's the former Imo governor, Rochas Okorocha. These are heavyweights. What gives you this confidence to think that the former Rivers governor will clinch it at the end of the day?
Well, they are heavyweights in their own right, and they are heavyweights in their corners. But the name, Right Honorable Chibi Kerotimi Amechi, tells you that that is an embodiment of somebody that has roots in several zones in Nigeria. Take the name Chibike. Take the other one, Rotimi. Take Amechi. You'll find about three geopolitical zones rolled into one in those names. That is one. But more seriously speaking, Chibike, Rotimi, Amechi has a record of being a detribalized Nigerian. Somebody who had served this country without asking where the people, the particular persons in the area. He just simply keeps giving service. That is a man whom people walk up to. Like I noticed once, a lady just walked up at a burial he attended and went to kneel down before him. And he said, "Lady, stand up. What's the problem?" He said, "Look," she was in tears. She said, "Do you know that I couldn't afford a day's meal, but you gave me a scholarship that took me overseas to do my master's degree, and I'm back in Nigeria. I've not had the opportunity to see you, but this is the only opportunity. I decided to come and thank you." Okay. There are a lot of these kind of actions. When you see, you know that this is a man who knows where he's coming from. He had never pretended or told anyone that he had a very rich background.
Okay, Mr. Feinbone. Sorry to butt in, but great explanations you've given on the kind of person that, of course, the Minister of Transportation is. However, let me just, one of my guests here, Demola Riwaju, pointed out something, you know, that a lot of other Nigerians have been asking since Saturday, which is the fact that it's just about 2 or 3 weeks, you know, since we had that deadly train attack, you know, that saw us lose, I think, about 9 persons right now. So many of these, in fact, the terrorists released a video late last night, you know, showing us pictures of and videos of people who are still in captivity. And many Nigerians are wondering, yes, the minister might not be directly responsible for defense, but the Nigerian Railway Corporation is under his ministry. Why is he talking about his declaration right now when he has fire, quote unquote, in his mountain?
Who is more directly involved now? The Honorable Minister for Transportation, who is just facing railway and other, transportation means, or the Vice President, who is part, you can say, next to the Commander in Chief. In terms of security nationwide, so we don't need to go there. If we go there, we will begin to say things we are not supposed to say. But I must tell you that life must go on. We must pray. That was why on Saturday we prayed. Never mind that he used the opportunity to declare, but it was prayer. And we could see that the first thing we did at that worship was to give a minute silence to either those who have died or those who are in captivity, so that they can be free. God can bless them and provide a means for them to be free. But that doesn't also mean that government and life grind to a halt.
Mm.
That will be taking it to the absurd.
Okay, Mr. Feinborn, just hold on a second. I'll get to you in a bit. Demola, let me come to you on this one now. We saw the APC national leader earlier today, make a very, some would say, controversial comment. You know, he was asked about his quote-unquote son, the vice president, Yemi Osinbajo, and he told everyone who cares to listen that he doesn't have a son who can as well come out and declare that he wants to be president, when you could argue his own father, Bola Tinubu Ahmed, in this case, is also gunning for the same position. What do you make of that dynamics between, the APC national leader and his reported estranged son?
Well, I think, it's also an indication of everything going wrong within the All Progressives Congress. Well, first, I would like to point out, what the State Public Secretary of River State APC was saying. The confidence, that Rotimi Amaechi is going to win that theirs is a political party where people are anointed into office. We saw their national convention recently, and we saw how all those who emerged as national officers of the party are all people who, were unpicked, basically. There was no election in any form, and so they are counting on that also for the presidential race. But, it also affects, the likes of Bola Ahmed Tinubu, the likes of Vice President Yemi Osinbajo also. It's funny, that their relationship has become so estranged, because if Osinbajo is being described as the political son of Bola Tinubu, then it is true. His first political appointment was as Attorney General in Bola Ahmed Tinubu's cabinet, and his emergence as Vice President, according to what we know about the internal shenanigans that happened within the parties that became the All Progressive Congress, he was Bola Ahmed Tinubu's nominee to be Vice President. And Bola Ahmed Tinubu has never hidden his presidential aspiration. So, of course, there's that tendency that, people would want to laugh at Bola Ahmed Tinubu, but, there is a valid point to be made for the fact that he is indeed Bola Ahmed Tinubu's political son. But if Bola Ahmed Tinubu is saying that he doesn't have a political son who is of age, then, it questions also his own political tutelage. Okay. Because, if you don't have a son at that age, if you've been in politics for so long, you were governor in 1999, and you don't have anybody whom you've groomed well enough to be president at this point, it says a lot about the kind of political mentoring and the kind of political tutelage that you offer. But I think, the public rift between them that is now starting, that is now emerging since both of them have declared for president, it puts to rest, the idea that perhaps there's some sort of game plan going on between both of them. I think, you know, we can now put that to rest. We know that both of them are the same. They're competitors, basically,
for the same,
in the same race. And I think, you know, I think Bola Tinubu understands that he's not as well positioned as the vice president to clinch that ticket.
All right, Demola, let's also let the listener know that we are streaming this conversation live on our YouTube page. It's Nigeria Info FM. And also on our Facebook page, it's Nigeria Info 993. And that would be my cue to let the listener also know that we have got the former DG of Nimasa, who's also a strong member of the APC and also governorship candidate of the party in the 2015 general election, Mr. Dakuku Peterside. He's joined us on the program this evening. A very good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Mata. Good evening, everybody in the studio.
Oh, okay. I'll let my colleague Algo ask you the question right now, Mr. Dakuku. Thank you for joining us on the newsroom.
All right, Mr. Peterside, I'm sure that you're not new to the game, and people say it's easy, great viewing for the neutrals. What do you say, Dakuku Peterside, and what you think, or rather, who do you think stands the best chance in getting the APC's presidential ticket? Mr. Peterside, are you there?
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, so the question is, who do you think stands the best chance in the APC to clinch the ticket with, of course, the likes of your colleague, Rotimi Amaechi, the vice president, and, of course, the APC national leader, Ahmed Tinubu, battling for the same ticket?
All right, thank you very much. I believe that as we approach the 2023 elections, my party and Nigerians will watch out for certain qualities in a president. More than ever in the life of our country, we are challenged almost on all fronts. We're facing security challenge. We have economic challenge staring us at the face. It's got relationship with the global economic meltdown.
Hello? Hello? Hello, Mr. Pistosai, can you hear us? Okay, it looks like the network is not favorable. We also have a journalist and editor of The Independent Monitor, Mr. Lekan Ige. Lekan, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. The network freezed for a few minutes. Could you just take a wrap of what you were saying?
Okay. Okay, I said first, Nigerians need a president with clear vision of how to tackle our multi-dimensional problems. One that is experienced, hands-on, courageous, firm, and energetic. Now, if you look at this array of persons aspiring to the office of the president, you will ask yourself, who amongst them have a clear vision of how to tackle our multifarious problems? Who's got the energy? Who's got hands-on experience? If you look at these parameters, the right the Honorable Chief Economist Amaechi stands out. He's the only one amongst all of them that have served at all levels of government. He was Speaker of the State House of Assembly for 8 years, not just an ordinary speaker, an outstanding speaker. He was governor for 8 years and chairman of Governors Forum. He's been minister for almost 7 years. So he served on the legislative arm of government, the executive arm of government. Age is on his side. He's below 57 years old.
He's actually 58.
He's got clarity of vision. He tackled insecurity as governor of Rivers State. So he's got a model that has worked, that Nigerians can look up to. He revamped Rivers State economy. He came at a time there was a dip in Rivers economy. He literally doubled his top national GDP under a period of 8 years. He built infrastructure. He's got a performance record that is nearly unassailable. These are advantages Nigerians cannot ignore. At this point in time that the nation is challenged, we want a leader that is hands-on. a leader who can deliver, a leader who can help us solve complex problems.
Okay.
Who's
got
the mindset.
Okay, Mr. Peterside, great qualities you've mentioned, but the average Nigerian would ask, and I did put that question to Mr. Chris Feinbone, who's also with us on this program, the APC secretary. The recent attack in the Kaduna Abuja train, you know, has got a lot of Nigerians talking and worried. Just like many criticized the PDP some years ago when, after a bombing in Abuja, they went dancing in Kano 24 hours later.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can speak to that straight ahead.
Okay.
One, the minister was preemptive. He approached the Federal Executive Council with a plan to forestall terrorist attack on trains to protect trade infrastructure. Hmm. You must commend him for that. He didn't have power of approval. That power of approval resided on the president or the vice president, and he didn't get approval from Federal Executive Council. He made that very clear.
Mr. Peters, some would argue that, you know, the reported company really has not got any footprints to show that they can actually deliver on that amount, that huge project.
I'll rather explain to you. It is a common practice in the industry for a firm to be an agent of an international firm, a firm that is not a Nigerian-based firm. Now, the owner of the technology is not a Nigerian-based firm. So this firm that was recommended is their Nigerian agent. And this is new technology, not technology that is local to Nigeria. So what do you expect? It's not the problem at all.
So what do you say to Nigerians who are saying, well, some persons from that train incident are still held in captivity, some have died, but the man who's responsible for that ministry 2 weeks after is declaring to be present? What do you say to those people?
There are two things. You need to understand the role of a minister and vis-a-vis the daily operational system of a train. Now, the train, or the operation of a train, is managed by Nigerian Railway Corporation. It is not the direct responsibility of the minister. The minister oversees policy making as he affairs railways. It is not his place to oversee day-to-day operation of rails.
Mm.
And that's clear. That's very clear. Now, mind you, the political process is time-dependent, time-sensitive. Are we saying that, like Mr. Chris Feinbone said, that he should not proceed with his political engagement because we have an issue at hand? The issue is being tackled. He's on top of the issue.
Okay.
He's shown enough proactiveness.
Okay, so the truth of the matter is that the time we have on the show is not going to allow us deal extensively on it. I'm sure, Mr. Dakuku, you would honor us with another invite if we ask you to come on our show. But before I let you go, one quick question. The president earlier this year talked about the fact that he has a preferred candidate, you know, but he was not going to mention the person's name. Some have suggested that preferred candidate is the Minister of Transport, Rotimi Amaechi. What do you say to those conversations?
The president is a Nigerian. He's a member of the All Progressive Congress. He has right to cast his one vote as a delegate, both in the All Progressive Congress primaries and in the general elections. Hello?
Go ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah, so he has right to cast his one vote at the APC primaries as well as the...
Okay, it looks like we're having another issue. We'll just leave that conversation. But quickly, let's talk about... we do have our correspondent... Honora Aniwobodo, right here in the studio. Honora, one of the other presidential aspirant, Yahaya Bello, has talked about the fact that he's not afraid of anyone and that whoever comes, he's equal to the task. Quickly, what gives him that confidence?
From his analysis, he's of the view that all the big names started are foundation members of APC.
Mm.
They are the founding fathers of APC. And from his analysis, it is not only the foundation that actually determines a building. Once the foundation is laid, the structural placing, the placing of the block and incident is what's going to show the actual building, the beautification of the building, that they're the young ones that joined and now those are going to take the APC to another level.
Okay.
So he's of the view that he's not afraid, his antecedent, his track record, security.
He's got everything.
He's got everything and he's going to square it because he was the chairman of even the reconciliation committee of APC that brought some of governors to the party. Mm. So this
has given him the
moral standing to say
to compete.
Compete.
Okay, quickly, Mr. Dakuku, I would have to let you go in a bit, but just your final words on this APC issue. Many believe that your party might implode at the end of the primaries. Do you think that is the case?
That's not the case because I am convinced, I'm optimistic the party will have a free, fair and credible primaries. And at the end of the primary process, they've got internal mechanism to begin to reconcile individuals. That's actually the part of democracy. There's nothing wrong with having conflict in democracy because there will always be divergence of opinion, divergence of choices. The most important thing is that we're able to reconcile our interests after the competition at the primary election. So the party will not implode.
The network has cut him off again.
The general election. The party will, of course, will remain united after the primaries and go ahead and win the general elections in 2023. I have absolutely no doubt, no atom of doubt.
Okay, Mr. Peterson, thank you very much. It's that will be our cue to move on to our second story, which has got to do with the National Union of Road Transport Workers and all the crisis, you know, they've actually had. Well, first, after initially denying him his appointment, the Lagos State government confirmed last week that the SAC chairman of the National of the NURTW in Lagos State, Musiliyo Akinsonya, who's popularly known as MC Olomo, will become the chairman of the Parks Management Committee in the state. We still have Demolare Waju, who is the PDP strategist and a Lagos boy, who at least understands this whole conversation. Demola, it appears there's a conflict of interest between the NURT national body and the Lagos Parks Management Committee, a state body, especially with the appointment of MC Oluomo. What do you make of all of this conversation?
Well, I think, you know, it's an outcome that we foresaw, you know, the last time we discussed it. And I think, you know, it's something that would not all go well for Lagos State. What I see it is as a legitimization of thuggery in Lagos State. MC Oluomo, all the guys on that list, you know, there's one called Kudeleti, there's Sego on that list. These are all, you know, factional warlords who are enforcers of the All Progressive Congress. Because you remember in January 2019, the NURCW factions clashed at an APC rally, which was held at Sky Power, you know, in Ikeja. So those were the guys, those were the main actors who were there. Now you've brought all these guys up and you're giving them control of all the parks. What you've done, basically, is you've removed them from the cage that they were in initially. And now you think you can put all of them on a leash. The leash being the former Commissioner of Police in Lagos State, Akeem Odumosu, who, you know, he was falsely put as number one on that list. If you see the list that came out, he was put as number one on that list, you know, and he was given the title government liaison officer, which is exactly neither here nor there. But MC Oluomo is the chairman, and then you have various underlings under him, which is about 16 of them, 16 different warlords, you know, who are all tough guys, including the SA to the governor on sports. Someone called Sulu Babaewe, school authority, who, you know, under Odumosu, he was wanted for you know, for some crimes, which included, you know, suspicions of killing a policeman at that time. And then this same person was indicted during the NSAS panel sitting, that he was one of those who led people to
Right, Demola, because we're,
those who came to
right. Sorry to interrupt you, Demola, because we're pressed.
It's all messy.
Because we're pressed for time also too, you know. But very quickly, I'm sure that even candidates or aspirants in the PDP would also want to deal differently with how the NURTW is framed. But I'm sure you heard the news over the weekend that MC Oluomo went to the NURTW secretariat and then evicted those who were in there. You think he had any right to go ahead and do that since this is the new face of transport management in the state?
Of course, I don't think so, because the NURLTW is still the NURLTW. The parks management which you are chairing, you can as well go and get another office anywhere, you know, along with the government. But like I said, you know, this is putting Lagosians and Lagos commuters at risk. And I think, you know, this is a very bad omen. And I think, you know, the end result of it will not be good for Lagosians, because, you know, you have so many other factions within that same transportation sector. You have the Keke Marwa guys, you have the motorcycle riders. They also want to be independent. And that battle has been ongoing all along. So now what you have is making MC Oluomo the chairman of all of them. You are creating a situation where there's going to be chaos in the days ahead.
All right. We want to thank you very much, Demola, for accepting to join us on the newsroom this evening. Unfortunately, we couldn't talk about the PDP zoning issue. Most likely, that's going to dominate the conversation this week. So we'll definitely have you in the studio next week. But quickly, before you go, zoning or no zoning for the PDP?
No zoning. You can only zone what you have. You can't zone what you do not have.
Okay, Demola, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Hopefully, you will join us on the newsroom next week. And that will be my cue to go quickly to our third conversation. And it has to do with NIN and SIM registration. I'm sure for a lot of persons listening to Nigeria Info right now, you may have had your calls bad. You can't make calls. Well, that's the issue that a lot of persons are facing. The federal government says they've given everybody lots of leeways, lots of time. Unfortunately, not everybody has been able to do it. Our correspondent, Nenna Okon, is right here in the studio. Nenna visited a lot of these NIN registration centers. Nenna, a lot of persons have been complaining. What did you notice when you went to those centers quickly?
Okay, so that was last week, Monday. I went out. Monday was when it was supposed to take effect from. Mm. But Monday when I went out, unfortunately, not many people had done it. I spoke to a number of them. In fact, I even spoke to somebody who said she does not know what NIN and SIM registration is all about.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So then on Tuesday, I also visited some places. I visited both on the mainland and on the island. Mm. The ones I visited on the mainland, I went there as early as 7:30. When I got there, you could see long queues of people, and then they started taking numbers. Mm. And so they had to wait for a very long time. They also had issues of connectivity, short staff. In some places,
that's
they were asking for money.
NIMC centers?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they had short staff. Some, they had issues with the computers were not working. They were slow. They had network issues. So, and then there's a particular center I visited where you had to pay money. You had to pay. Yeah.
Wow. Legitly.
Yes.
To get a number.
Yeah, no, you have to pay 1,000 naira. I don't want to mention the name of the telco, but you have to pay, and then they will give you a SIM.
Okay.
Yes. So it was a way of them for them. Was,
okay. So the SIM
money.
Already registered.
Yes. So you have to pay the sum of 1,000. Then the other centers I visited, there was a particular center I visited on the island where they were alleging that I got there at about 12 o'clock and then I was told that there was no number again. I had to come back the next day by 6:30 because they thought I was part of those that wanted to register my SIM. Mm. I spoke to somebody there who told me that he had been there since 7 o'clock. He was number 13. And as at 12 o'clock, he had not been attended to.
And he is number 13?
Yes, number 13. According to him, he said that what they were doing was that they were bringing in people. You just see someone who is big in quotes, would just come in from the back and then they'll register him.
Racketeering, more like.
Yes, so like the complaints were so much. I spoke to many people in that particular center and the story was the same.
Okay, that's an ongoing conversation, and I'll go, I'm sure next week it's going to still dominate, you know, our conversations right here. But unfortunately, everything that has a good beginning comes to an end. And that's going to be how we will wrap up the newsroom this evening. Algo, it's been great doing this. I can finally go on my leave. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. The newsroom brought to you, of course, courtesy of the newsroom of Nigeria Info, where we deal with some of the big stories happening or that happened in the course of the week. We've had Dakuku Peter's side. We also had Demola Riwaju. We also had APC Secretary in Rivers, Chris Finebone. And of course, we had our reporters right here, Honor Rani Wobodo and Nenna Okon. We also had our reporter from Port Harcourt, Martha Okeri. But that's the show this evening. Thank you, guys. The news at 7 is up next after this timeout.